You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Summer is a time for all kinds of parties, graduations, weddings, holidays, friendly get-togethers. And here to offer expert advice on what you might want to make for a summer party is Melissa Clark, who writes the New York Times dining section column A Good Appetite and Restaurant Takeaway. She's also the author of a host of cookbooks. Most recent is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. And I'm always pleased to see you.
Good to see
you, too.
Welcome
back to our show. If our listeners, if you have any questions about cooking for a summer party or you have some ideas you want to share, you can call us at 212-433-9692, or you can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on our Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. I think I've covered all bases.
I think you've got it all.
What are some of the challenges of cooking and entertaining in the summer?
Well, the most obvious one is the heat. You just, you know, whether even if you are so well air conditioned in your kitchen, if you're cooking for a party, you necessarily have the stove on all day or the oven on all day, and you really want to reduce that amount of time because it's just your kitchen heats up. So you want to try to avoid that. And luckily, summer is such a great time to serve food that doesn't have to be cooked. Salads, there are all kinds of soups that you can make in the blender. I love those cold blender soups. There are puddings that you can make. There are things that you can make with just a little bit of stovetop heat without turning the oven on. And, of course, you've got the grill.
Well, there are some people who have access to the outside, whether they have a backyard or, mm-hmm. or a terrace, or they can go to a nearby park. But others will be stuck in their houses, their apartments, whatever.
Right.
It does affect what you would make, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's actually a very important distinction. If you are having people in your house, please don't use the oven as much as you might for a winter dinner party, because it might feel perfectly cool to you when you're cooking, but then when you have your 10 or 15 friends or 30 friends, however big your party is, come into your house, those bodies really warm up the air. So you really want to make sure that before you have your friends over, the house is at a very cold temperature. Either cook earlier, cook the day before, which is a good idea, or serve things that are cold.
Well, and when you're grilling, there's
right.
always the problem of having to stand
by the grill.
Watch what's going on, and not being a good host or hostess. So how do we get past that?
Yeah, the grilling thing, I mean, I know that whenever we have a party, usually my husband, we do the gender stereotypes. I'll actually marinate the food and my husband will stand at the grill and cook it. We're just both happier that way. And there's the circle of people around him, you know, there are the people who are getting hot by the grill, but he always has company because people gravitate toward the grill. I feel like when they see the fire, when they smell that smoke, when they see that meat or that fish or whatever you have cooking, they just want to be near it, even if it's 100 degrees outside. So he's never by himself, which is good. And then there is the contingent of people who want to be far away from the grill and stand in the shade and have, you know, their white wine. And
you've talked about lamb burgers mm-hmm. before. Do they work well on the grill?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, lamb burgers are great for a party because everyone thinks hamburgers. And then they smell something and they think, this smells really good, but it doesn't quite smell like a hamburger. And then when they take a bite, they realize that it's lamb, or maybe you've told them ahead, but it's a surprise. It's much more interesting than a hamburger, and you can really elevate it. A hamburger will always be a hamburger, no matter how fancy your beef is, no matter how fancy your rolls are. It's a hamburger, which is a wonderful thing. But a lamb burger can really be a little bit more special, I think.
Well, I sometimes have problems keeping burgers together on the grill. They fall apart.
Yeah.
And then small pieces fall through the grill and
catch fire
onto
the coals. The whole thing. Yeah.
Is there some special secret to keeping them together?
That is the hardest part of making a good burger, is that exact issue. Because if you pack them together, then what you're doing is you're basically forcing the juices out, and you are going to get a tough, heavy burger. You want to pack them as lightly as possible. But if you pack them too lightly, they're going to fall apart. They're going to fall in the grill. They're going to catch on fire, and it's going to be a mess. So you really need to just need to do it by feel. Pack lightly but firmly so that they just hold together. Don't use an egg to bind it. You don't need it. So, and then if you do use an egg, then there's all that. Then you have to really think about how well you're going to cook them. So just use the meat. The meat will bind if you pat it gently.
I was wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea to start them on the stove.
Ah, and then that is interesting. I have never. Have you done that?
Well, I've done that with other things. Uh-huh. For example, ribs and such. You do them in the oven, and then you bring them out to the grill.
Yes, that's a great rib trick. We should tell everybody about that rib trick, because I think, you know, people think that when they're making ribs, you have to build a fire and you have to let your ribs sit out there all day at for a very low heat, and you have to tend them. And that's a great traditional way to make ribs. But the cheater's way that I do this too, it's a great trick, is you par cook them in the stove. You can do them the day before. You do them over a little bit, a teeny bit of water on a rack. So you're kind of steam cooking them covered in a very low oven until they're falling apart tender. And then you finish them on the grill until they are crisp and smoky and delicious.
What about grilling fish? That's always a problem because the skin, if the skin sticks.
Yeah.
No matter how much oil you put on the rack.
And the more oil, then you worry about flare-ups. So you have to be careful with the oil. The fish basket is one way to go. But another way, this is great. People don't think about using tin foil on the grill. And foil is your friend. You don't even need a fish basket. If you take foil, you wrap your whole fish in the foil. You season it with olive oil and salt and pepper and lemon and beautiful herbs in the cavity. Then you put it in the foil. And you can poke holes in it, or you can just I don't even crimp it. I just put it right on the foil and I just leave it open. And then you're getting, so it's not sticking to the grill, great, but it's still getting all that smoke.
The smoke is coming around
it, right. So you just leave it open. You just use the foil almost as a baking dish. Except
you recommend the same sort of thing with pizza on the grill?
You know, I put a pizza stone right on the grill. Have you ever tried that? I think that works great. You heat up your grill. You put your pizza stone on the grill while, you know, when it's cold, you have to heat that pizza. This actually works a little bit better on a gas grill. I usually prefer a charcoal grill, but this, for pizza on the grill, gas is your friend. Put it on the grill, shut your grill, let it heat up for a good half an hour, and then you're basically using your grill like an outdoor oven. Slide the pizza right on the stone.
I'm talking with Melissa Clark of the New York Times and 30-something cookbooks. And our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write us on our show page at WNYC.org if you want to get some advice on entertaining for the summer, or if you have some thoughts of your own.
We'd love to hear your ideas.
Because invariably, after a segment like this, not with you, Melissa, but with other people, somebody will write in and say, your guest was absolutely wrong when he or she said such and such. And I think, well, why didn't you call and tell us?
Yeah, if I'm wrong, please tell me, because I'd like to be – I always want to know more. So,
well, you've also written about deep frying outside, which I bet many people don't consider. What kind of equipment do you need?
This is funny. I wrote about this a couple of years ago. I have one of those little deep fryers that you plug in, an electric one. And my husband had the great idea to just move the whole thing outdoors. We have an outlet in the garden. So we just move the whole deep fryer outdoors. And that was the best party ever, because who doesn't love fried food? And who wants to fry food in the summer in the house? The Times also just covered that yesterday. There's an article which is fabulous about getting a propane burner. And that's another fabulous thing. You don't even need to have the deep fryer. Get a propane burner and a big pot of oil. But
what are you frying?
Fish is amazing. Fish, scallops are great, as the article yesterday talked about. And there's a recipe for that if you go to the New York Times /dining website. I love to fry soft shell crab, which is just, I think soft shell crab is at its best when it's deep fried, because the legs get crunchy and crisp and the center remains juicy.
So but there's such like a short season.
Yeah, I think you can still get them now, though. I think, you know, our season was late this year, too, because of the weather. So I think they're still around. You know what else is fabulous in the deep fryer? Of course, you know, you can play. Once you have the deep fryer set up, you could pretty much fry anything you've got. But I really love, all kinds of vegetables. And people don't think of fried vegetables. They think, oh, vegetables, fresh, and that's great, too. But fried broccoli is delicious with tartar sauce.
Do you have to bread everything?
No, not at all. You have some things you can put right in the fryer with just a dusting of cornmeal, like the crabs, or a dusting of flour. For the vegetables, I like to use a light tempura batter, something. Or you know what's a great trick? If you don't want to think about a recipe, if you're outside with your fryer, you've got all the stuff that you want to fry, self-rising flour and a bottle of beer.
And what about grilling vegetables? I'm not talking about in a fryer.
Right.
Most people will do mushrooms, large.
Right, those big portobello caps instead of give them to poor vegetarians instead of the burgers, which I think we can do better. I don't love those portobello fake burgers. I think if you're going to serve a non-burger, it should be done with a little more care.
But what about other vegetables? Should you? Asparagus?
Asparagus is great on the grill.
What do you do? Just dip it in olive oil before you put it out there?
I do. And they fall through the grates. Got to be really careful. They fall right, those thin ones fall right through. So
and they're the best ones as far as I'm concerned, the thin ones.
You like the thin ones better? Yeah. I like the thick ones.
They get
them
a little mealy.
You know, the thin ones are good when you have the thin ones, and when the thick ones are there, those are good too. But you have to make sure either put them in a basket or lay them, of course, lay them perpendicular to the grill
and rather than parallel. Can you put anything out there? Broccoli,
no, you know, broccoli is great. Cauliflower, I've never had success. I think I have to cut it smaller. I'm sure there's a way to do it. I just haven't mastered it. If anyone has successfully grilled cauliflower, please call us and tell us how to do it.
You don't put potatoes out there. Although you could do onions in a foil.
In the foil. And potatoes are good in foil, too, that they take a long time. When I was a kid, did you ever do this when you were a kid? We would have a fire. We had a fireplace, and we'd throw potatoes wrapped in foil right on the fire, and they'd cook in the ashes. Mickey potatoes, they were called.
The only fires we ever had were the ones where you had to call the fire department. And we didn't have a fireplace.
Well, it's great. Those are great to do in the grill on the summer, too. Throw them right in the – if you're using charcoal, wrap them in foil. Throw them right in with the coals. Wrap them well in foil. And they take a while, but they're fabulous.
I have another suggestion. I know you are not going to like this because you don't have a microwave.
Oh, you were going to say the microwave.
You can put the potato in the microwave for a very short time
and then put them on the grill.
Put them on the grill, and they cook a lot quicker.
You can also parboil them. Same diff.
In the summer, you need to think about food spoiling in the heat. Popular dishes like potato salad, coleslaw use mayonnaise. Should we be concerned?
You know, yes, you should think about it. You should be thoughtful, but it's not unless you're making homemade mayonnaise with eggs from the supermarket and they're of suspect quality. You probably don't have to worry. I mean, keep stuff cool. I mean, you should be aware. You should make sure all your stuff is cool. You should serve it quickly. You keep it chilled until you serve it. But I wouldn't not serve a mayonnaise salad because it's summertime. Just think about it and just be a little bit careful with the way you serve it. Here's what not to do. Don't put a bowl of mayonnaise out in the sun and leave it there for 6 hours and then serve it to your guests.
Does it matter whether it's store-bought or homemade?
It does, actually. Store-bought mayonnaise has been pasteurized, so it is much less likely to have anything that could make you sick in it. Not to say that it couldn't, but it's just much less likely than homemade. However, homemade mayonnaise is so much better.
Uh-huh. Well, should we take some calls?
I would love to take some
calls.
Okay.
George from Manhattan, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is about the best way to prepare a ribeye on a grill. I've heard restaurants flash freeze their steaks before they put them onto a grill or cook them in a salamander thing. And what to do after you're done cooking with it, the best way to handle.
That is a great question. Yes, I have heard. I have actually tried that flash freezing. I mean, flash freezing for me means throwing it in the freezer for an hour before I don't have a flash freezer. But pre-freezing the steaks is terrific if you like it bloody rare. And I love my steak bloody rare. So freeze it for it depends on how thick your steak is. For a nice thick steak, maybe about an inch and a quarter, which is a very good height for grilling, you want to put it in the freezer for about, I would do it for about an hour. You could go up to two. In 2 hours, it'll probably freeze pretty solid. So,
Which you don't want.
Well, I mean, it depends on.
Well, then you're going to wind up with a nice charred outside and cold steak in the middle.
What you do, okay, so here's how to remedy that. Because sometimes when I'm cooking ahead for a party, I just throw the steak in the freezer and I forget about it. If you've put it in there for just an hour, just grill it on high heat as you normally would. And if it's not quite done in the center, you know, and you poke it to see if it's done, or you can use a thermometer and you want it at about 115, 120, or even 110. If it's not quite done in the center and it's as black as you want it on the outside, just move it to a cooler part of the grill and let it finish cooking at low heat on the edge of the grill. And you can do that if you've frozen your steak solid. This is great. If you have a steak in the freezer and you want to grill at the last minute, just take it out of the freezer, throw it on the grill, start it at high heat, and then move it over to low heat.
Okay, George?
What about after it's done cooking and letting it rest? And what that's all about?
Yeah, the letting it rest, you know, letting it rest is good. Take it off the grill, put it on a cutting board, and in 10 minutes you can eat it. Just let it rest for 10 minutes. It just lets the heat evenly distribute, and it just finishes the cooking.
And the juices go back.
You know, they say the juices go back.
Well, that's what I've read.
I know. I've read that, too, and I just really wonder about that because it looks pretty juicy to me all over my cutting board. But maybe some of them get reabsorbed.
Melissa Clark writes the New York Times columns A Good Appetite and Restaurant Takeaway. She has written lots of cookbooks. The most recent one, Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes That You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. You can talk to her by giving us a call at 212-433-9692. Or you can write us online at WNYC.org on our Facebook page. Or you can tweet us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. By the way, just one more thing before we go to the break. Should you put salt on before you cook those steaks?
I like to salt my steaks. There is some debate about that. I do salt my steaks right before I put them on the grill.
Doesn't that bring some of the moisture out?
You know, that's what they say, but I think I would rather have the even salty. Actually, I even salt them a little bit ahead, maybe 15 minutes ahead, and I let the salt really seep in. I'd rather have an evenly seasoned steak and lose a touch of the juice than not have an evenly seasoned steak. But you know what? Steak's delicious. If you get a good piece of meat, either way is going to work. So
we'll be back in just a moment. This is WNYC. And we are back with Melissa Clark talking about what we might do for summer parties, summer entertaining. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Lots of calls coming in. But before we get to them, cocktail parties are pretty standard any time of year. But you've also suggested having an aperitif party.
You know, I wrote an article about that for The Times several years ago, and it's really become having an aperitif party rather than a cocktail party. And just to clarify, an aperitif is it's an alcoholic beverage that's lighter in alcohol. It uses beverages that are already libations that are already pre-mixed. So you have things like Campari or Chinar, and you just are adding a mixer, a non-alcoholic mixer, to them. So they're really easy. It's basically you take a bottle of something and you add another bottle of something, and you've created this wonderful, very light in alcohol drink that's refreshing, it's cooling, and it's unusual. And besides, who has an aperitif party? Everyone has a cocktail party. It's a little different.
And I assume that you suggest putting out cheese and crackers with it. Anything else?
Oh, God, you got to lay on more than that. Even if they're lighter.
Mark Bibbin was here recently. He said, before a dinner party, he just simply puts out peanuts.
Really? You know what, though? He probably maybe has a shorter time between before dinner and dinner than I do, because I like to have a nice long cocktail hour, and I'd get hungry, so I got to feed.
So what
guests
do you suggest other than cheeses?
I think
that don't require cooking.
You know, that's the trick. And for a summer cocktail party or any kind of summer party, you need to have foods that you can quickly just pull out, things that you can buy and sort of make them, spruce them up. So some of my favorite things, smoked salmon or those beautiful white anchovies, bocarones, are amazing. Regular anchovies, little bites, herring for people who love herring, and I love herring. Little bites of things that are salty, that are elegant. If you put them out, I mean, use your best dishes when you're having a party. If you put out even just a simple, you know, you go to a specialty store, you buy a package of white anchovies or regular, good quality regular anchovies, you pour fresh, good olive oil on them, some freshly cracked black pepper, and a little bit of lemon juice. That takes no work, and that is a delicious thing. Serve them with toothpicks, and people will devour them. Another trick is to buy salmon roe. Salmon roe, just a little bit. It's expensive, but a little bit goes a long way. It's cheaper than regular caviar. And you take that, you boil, you know, so you do have to do a little cooking, but you can do it the day before. You boil those great new potatoes, which have just come into season right now, and they're heavenly. Have them. Teeny dollop of sour cream or creme fraiche, a teeny dollop of salmon roe. That's the kind of stuff that people will remember forever. And it's so easy to make.
Toby, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Melissa, big fan.
Thank you.
This is a tip on the cauliflower, grilling the cauliflower.
Thank you.
Idea is you take the head of cauliflower and you slice it. You don't divide it into little trees. So you make like inch long or three-quarters of an inch long or wide slices.
Uh-huh.
And you put oil on them and you put them on the grill, and it crisps up perfectly. You can actually do that in the convection oven or something like that, too.
Okay, you know, I've done that in the oven, and I've never done it on the grill. That is a great tip. Thank you, Toby.
Yeah.
I'm going to try
you
that.
Bet. We'll give it a try.
I will. Thanks.
And Hugh, hi, you're on the air. Hugh from Fairfax, Virginia. You calling us from Virginia?
No, actually, we're driving through Connecticut, or New York and Connecticut, on our way up to Massachusetts.
Okay.
We're covering a lot of states. Being able to stop food falling through the grill. I actually have half of my grill is a solid barbecue plate, which I use, and also it makes it a lot easier to clean up the grill afterwards because it doesn't drip through into the other areas of the grill.
So wait a second. So you have a flat plate on top of the heat source. Is it a charcoal grill or is it a gas grill?
It's a gas grill, which you can do with charcoal. You can do with an open fire. My brother-in-law back in Australia has got an open fire out in his backyard, and he has a solid piece of iron that has a hole in the middle of it, so all the fat can drip through easily. And
interesting. And I guess, but you're cooking, then you're not getting the flames licking the actual, but then again, you're getting an intense heat and you're still getting the smoky flavor if you're using charcoal. Very interesting tip. Do they sell those in Australia, or is that something you rig up yourself?
You can buy them in Australia quite easily in most places. And also what I've got on the grill back in Virginia is a solid plate that I actually got from Williams-Sonoma that, again, just sits on top of the regular grate.
So that's an Australian accent? I thought it was a Virginia accent.
No, well.
Thank you for calling us. A listener says you can put stainless large nails through baked potatoes before wrapping them in foil to make them cook quicker. Do you know about that?
You know, I have heard about that. I forgot. I'm pulling up a distant memory.
She says they conduct the heat throughout the potato.
I'm going to try this. Stainless nails.
Yeah.
Where does one get stainless nails? In a kitchen store, maybe. Maybe it's a thing.
Stainless steel. Another person, Ruthie on Twitter, says Crock-Pot is my favorite summer cooking secret. No residual heat.
That's a good tip. The only thing is that in summer, I don't know if I want a big stew or a brisket or a soup, you know, something that I think of making in a crock pot, but maybe I'm just not thinking broadly enough.
Have you ever attempted to cook for a big party, like a backyard wedding or some other celebration?
Oh, you don't know about my catering days, do you? Yes, I have cooked for many, many large parties. I had a catering company a very long time ago, and my last party that I ever did was a wedding for 150 in Pennsylvania, and it was an outdoor picnic wedding, and I had to bring everything that I had made in New York and drive it down there. And I was, you know, I was young, I was very inexperienced, and I brought everything. I brought teeny little beautiful flowers, you know, to decorate the salads. I brought those little champagne grapes that I cut into bunches for the petit four plates. I brought cold salmon that I had poached and I had different sauces for. You know what I forgot? Tables. So I got up there and there was no workspace. There was no counter space at all. So we spread big cloths on the floor and we catered on our hands and knees. And that was the last catering job I ever did.
Because of that?
Yes, it was so hard. And it just also made me realize that I wasn't experienced or organized enough to be a competent caterer. And I'd do better sitting in front of my computer as a writer. So.
Of course, you could have just have learned from the experience and brought a folding table the next time.
I don't think I liked it. I don't think I liked catering enough to really push forward with that as a career choice.
Melissa Clark is with us. She writes the restaurant takeaway and a good appetite columns for the New York Times dining section. Her latest book is Cook This Now, 100 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, and we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Or you can write us on our show page or on Facebook or Twitter. And Angelo, who's on the Long Island Expressway, told my staff that for grilling, his father took an old radiator and grilled directly on it.
Oh, interesting. You mean one of those iron ones that... Oh, I wish he was on the phone.
Yeah,
oh, darn,
me
I want
too.
To ask him all about that. That's fascinating. But I guess it would be a good conductor of heat because those things, those were, you know, cast iron, those big old radiators.
Jim, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I was calling. I was listening earlier and you were talking about mayonnaise and the problems with that in the summer. One of the things I really like to do is to grill some small red bliss potatoes, let them cool off, and then at the last minute you can toss them with a little homemade mayonnaise and some herbs. It makes a really nice, cool summer salad.
I love the idea of the grilled potatoes with the with a potato salad. You know, normally we think of boiling them, but grilling them just must add that extra layer of flavor and a little bit of smokiness. That's a really nice idea. And the herbs, too. Great.
Thank you for calling us. Don, by the way, have you noticed most of the callers are men?
I love that. It's great. Because you know why we're talking grilling. See, I'm telling you, the gender stereotypes. Come on, women. I know there are lots of grilling women out there.
Well, Don, you're not calling to talk about grilling, are you? Don, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I have a summer soup that I make that is so easy and simple. And it's cantaloupe scooped out, pureed, a cup of orange juice, the juice of a lime, and a cube of grated ginger.
Mm.
And then I separate some of that away before I pour a bottle of Prosecco in it.
Oh, yum.
And then I serve it in shot glasses.
Is that soup or is that an aperitif? It's kind of a combination. That sounds fabulous.
Yes, that's always a big hit. And then I make a globe grate where I scoop it out. You have to have the tiniest melon baller in the world.
Uh-huh.
And then fill it with Thai chicken salad.
Ooh, nice.
I
love that idea of the grape with the Thai chicken. Do you use Thai basil?
I use cilantro.
Okay, so, nice.
I mean, yeah, but the point is it wants to be herby, it wants to be spicy, and it wants to be sweet.
I love that.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. That's
not everybody loves cilantro. I'm always afraid to serve it. It's fine with me, but some people have some weird reaction to it.
My brother-in-law, I always have to think about, is my brother-in-law coming to this party? Is he not coming? And then I'll always do a little bit. Instead of cilantro, though, I really love Thai basil if you're doing something that's South Asian flavored, or if you're doing something that's just you want that fresh cilantro bite, mint. Mint is, I think it's better than parsley because parsley is sort of, it doesn't really add a lot.
Well, you also have supplied us with a cantaloupe soup.
I have.
And we have posted that on our website at WNYC.org. It's Melissa Clark's cantaloupe and yogurt soup with toasted cumin salt.
Mm-hmm. This is one trick which is great in the summer, but it's great any time of year. I love to do salt with spices in them, with toasted spices. It can be toasted coriander. It can be toasted cumin. And in this recipe, I take, similar to the gentleman who just called, I take my cantaloupe, very ripe. I put it in the blender, and I use yogurt. The sweetness of that combination and the creaminess with that little bit of salt, the crunch of the salt, you use coarse salt, the crunch of the cumin seeds on top. It's really unexpected, and it's a really nice summer soup.
And you've also given us a recipe for a berry summer pudding.
Summer puddings are great because this is an English dessert that a friend of mine always makes for her 4th of July barbecue. And so I've based my recipe on my friend Karen's recipe.
She's English and she does 4th of July?
She's not English. She just likes this recipe. She just found this in an English cookbook.
Eye of the British on the 4th of July.
That's probably why she does it. We also read the Declaration of Independence out loud at this party. It goes on for a while, I can tell you. But this is a great recipe for a non-cook, very elegant summer dessert. You take bread, you butter the bread, and you line a dish with it, and then you fill it with fresh berries with a little bit of sugar, and you let the whole thing sit until the berries have stained the bread dark purple. And it's like this mold. It's this beautiful thing. You unmold it, you cut it like a cake, and then she serves it with lavender creme anglaise, or vanilla ice cream is great too. Very easy recipe.
Karen from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to mention corn, because corn on the grill.
Yes.
I don't husk it. I leave everything on. I just open the top of the husks and run a tiny little bit of cold water into it, and then I throw them right on the grill. And, my God, they're like, even if they burn, they are so delicious that way. So you husk them, you know, after they're done.
The only problem is, do people burn their fingers? That's the only thing I worry about.
Well,
You don't take the silk out?
The cook takes them off the grill, throws them on a tray, waits a minute or two, and takes a big dish towel to husk them. Now, you can't, your guests aren't going to husk them.
Okay.
It's too messy.
Okay, you're a good, that is the most generous hostess. That's great.
Now,
just so delicious.
There's been a big debate about whether you should leave them in the husks or whether you should dehusk.
Or take the silk off first, yes. Right. You know what? Here's the thing about it. If you want them to be more steamed, then you leave them in the husks and you leave the silk on them. Or you can take the silk off, you know. The reason that people take the silk off, I think, is because they don't want to handle the hot silk.
I think they also think it imparts an unpleasant taste.
Yeah, you know, I've read that, but I haven't really noticed it. I've done it both ways, and I think leaving the silk on, to me, the flavor is okay. I mean, it tastes fine. It tastes the same. But I really like to take the husks off, and I put the corn directly on the grill because I like that. I also like that charred grilled flavor that you get, and the corn caramelizes, and that's just lovely.
Do you wet it first?
No, I don't do anything. I'm sorry. I do. I oil it. I put a teeny bit of oil on it. I throw it on the grill, and then when I take it off, I love to put lime juice and cayenne and sometimes butter on top of that, and that is just that's delicious. Great summer.
Dawn from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. You're making me think of all kinds of things that I've done, and now I want to try them all over again. Marcella Hazan has an orange trout recipe that you cook in advance, and it's I believe it's in the oven with moisture, and you put it's actually onions and oranges in a marinade with really good olive oil, and then you serve it chilled the next day, and it's phenomenal.
Dawn, is it true that you catered your own wedding?
Yeah, many years ago.
Oh, my God. You're a brave woman.
Did you remember to bring a table?
And then the other one is I've done it at barbecues that happen in, like, a public park. You could just grill the salmon in foil and make it kind of moist and then make hand rolls with the seaweed sheets and some rice that you make before, and you put the seasoning in the rice and avocados, and it's incredible because you could just eat it right, you know, out of your hand.
I love that idea. That's great.
And we thank you so much. By the way, do you recommend any kinds of wines? Do you think that rosés are good with these kinds of foods?
I do think rosés are, I mean, they're probably my summer go-to wines. I drink a lot of rosé in the summer rather than red and white wines. And don't forget about aperitifs, little Campari and soda.
And don't forget about the recipes that Melissa has supplied us with. One is Melissa Clark's berry summer pudding with rose-scented custard. The other, cantaloupe and yogurt soup with toasted cumin salt. And, of course, you can always read Melissa's articles in the New York Times, Restaurant Takeaway and A Good Appetite, or any of her many cookbooks, the most recent from Hyperion, Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes That You Can't Wait to Make.